Good morning. My name is Johnny Waller Jr. I work in the community. I'm part of the Kansas City Crime Commission. Right now, I'm a college student. I go to Rockhurst University in Kansas City full time to receive my second degree. Well, I'm going to share some of my personal life and then try to bring some understanding in case anyone has some questions, especially from someone from a law enforcement standpoint. Before I was in the community and a college student and all the other things that I do in the community, I was a former inmate. I did 5 years in the Nebraska State Penitentiary for selling drugs. When I got out of prison, it was very difficult to transition back into society because there was a lot of laws in place that did not allow you to have a successful transition. I had enough intestinal fortitude because at that time there wasn't a lot of help out there to make it on my own. And I was able to turn my life around. I went to college. I got a degree. I started a business. I employed local students from the high school, from Center High School. And unfortunately, my son was diagnosed with cancer, my firstborn son. So here I am, a business owner and employer in the state of Missouri and Kansas City. And I had to leave everything to go to St. Jude Hospital. I had to move in one day, in less than 24 hours, to Memphis, Tennessee, so my son could begin chemotherapy. Since I had a drug conviction, though, I wasn't allowed to receive any benefits in the state of Missouri. And we returned here, and I ended up losing my business because I had sole custody of my son. I didn't receive any child support from his mother. I wasn't allowed to get any food stamps. I had to leave my business. And it was a really difficult thing to do, thinking as here I am out of prison, haven't reoffended, and I was later given a pardon by the governor for these crimes. And I wasn't even allowed to get any type of benefits or anything and it wasn't necessarily for me, it was for my son. Having cancer, he had to eat fresh food. You have to eat fresh food because your immune system is so low that if you leave something sitting out for an hour, it's no good. So he constantly had to eat only fresh food. And I was constantly feeding, because if anybody knows anyone who has cancer, they're constantly throwing up. And I mean, it's just a horrible experience. And it was just shocking to me how I did make a mistake. I did sell drugs. I'm accountable for that. I used to be in a gang. I did a lot of bad things. And I hold myself responsible. I don't blame society or anything like that. But one must be allowed a second chance. And that's all I was kind of looking for. And I thought I had done well enough. I got a pardon from the governor. I mean, I thought I did well enough to kind of receive that second chance and become a member of society again. I paid my taxes. I currently go to Rockhurst University. I pay $33,000 a year to go to school. I have to pay some of that back. But I'm not allowed to eat, basically. I'm allowed to pay back a student loan, but I'm not allowed to eat. And that kind of doesn't make sense to me, you know. And this is my second time coming up testifying on this bill. And there is a distinct difference between drug dealers, drug users. Drug users do have a type of addiction. And to address, my family sold a lot of drugs. I sold a lot of drugs. We all end up going to prison. I never took food stamps when I sold drugs. You can't buy. We buy rims and cars and Jordans and clothes. You can't buy those type of things with food stamps. Some people do. But where I was in my community and my friends, we did not cash only business unless you got jewelry, a TV, or something like that. So, I just wanted to say that so people can understand, because I believe that there's a lack of understanding between the differences of what really goes. I've never been at the grocery store, me and a bunch of my friends who used to sell drugs, like, man, you got that food stamp card so we can buy steakers. We spent cash all the time. I mean, some of the things that happen, and I would feel better even, and I represent, I've worked with thousands of felons and hundreds of gang members, I would feel better if you strictly just banned everybody than just ban us, because sometimes we just make mistakes. And in my case, I haven't committed a crime in over 13 years. I was 18 years old when I went to prison. 18 years old. My mom left. My dad put me out when I was 14 years old. The only thing he ever taught me to do was sell drugs. And that's what I did. And I made a mistake. And not being allowed to eat a basic essential life, I mean, it does cause public safety concern, because even I, with as much intestinal fortitude that I had, I've often thought, like, you know, what am I going to do? I've been so hungry, I have to swallow my own saliva. I've slept in front of a church on a park bench. I mean, because of the, we're just thrown away, basically. And people don't want us to reoffend, but we're kind of not given a choice. And I just wanted to speak and say that to you today. And I really hope that this is the year that this bill is passed. If not, I'll be here next year saying the same thing.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there any questions, Representative Oxford?
Well, congratulations on a great job turning yourself around.
Thank you.
Best wishes. So maybe you have the expertise to share what I was going to share about why cards are found in drug busts. I think I know what the answer to that is, but you kind of have some expertise in that field. So why do you think EBT cards are found in drug busts?
Well, in that kind of community, a lot of people was close-knit, and different kind of drugs do different kind of things. In my community, it was strictly a cash a business. Some people who have a different kind of addiction with different drugs and have food stamps, they have food stamp cards available. And sometimes it's not even that they're doing drugs. It's sometimes their boyfriend will be doing drugs and they'll give them the food stamp card. Or it's a lot of different things that go into it. Personally, I've had more people come to me to sell me food stamps because they needed to pay rent. Their kids couldn't eat. Or something like that than I've ever had for drugs. True enough, people do use them for drugs, and it's simply, and I'll tell you why. We used to call it the new money. It was food stamps used to come in paper.
Right.
Then they changed to plastic. But the problem with the plastic is anybody can use it. There's no one at I go to Price Chopper. There's no one at Price Chopper saying, let me see your ID. Is this your food stamp card? If you know the PIN number, you simply swipe, enter in the PIN number, and you go on about your business. So a more effective way to do that would actually be put the picture on the card, you know, and have people in that industry actually ask them maybe for ID.
Isn't it possible, too, that at a home where there's a drug bust, a lot of kind of crimes have been happening and that there are, like, some stolen purses there? And that no one is really, like, using that EBT card because they don't have the PIN for it, but they have been stealing a lot of things, including.
Yes, and that's another difference between being a drug dealer and a drug user. Mm-hmm. Being a drug dealer, we don't like kind of steal like that, but uh-huh. drug users do.
Sure.
And they'll steal anything. Uh-huh. And sometimes they do. They steal purses, break into the house, rob somebody.
From your sister, from your neighbor, from somebody on the street.
They'll have AMC cards, food stamp cards, they'll Visa cards. But
And some of it can be used maybe by the drug dealer and some of it can't.
Like gift cards, we can.
Yeah, including
use gift cards.
The PIN number on that food stamp card is going to be changed real quickly because the person's going to report their card stolen or missing, and it'll be replaced and have a new PIN, and then that card is useless, right?
Right, and usually they don't even have the PIN number anyway.
Right, right.
It's just useless. That's why we don't.
It's there, but it's not really going to be cashed in.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Waller.
You're welcome.
Representative May.
I really just want to make a statement based on what the previous conversation was. It's also true that some people who have EBT cards are not drug users. They sell groceries to people for cash, for paying bills, and for buying clothes, and for other things that food stamps can't get them. But they also have other necessities because they don't work. So you need cash to go into a clothing store and get clothes for your child. So they'll stand at the grocery store and say, if you give me, you know, $40, I'll buy you $60 worth of grocery. Things like that. So it's not always tied to drugs. So
that's absolutely
parts for cash too.
That's absolutely correct. The going rate on a dollar of food stamp is actually 50 cents. So, you know, somebody's 50 cents, you give them $25 for $50 worth of food stamps. And 90% of the time where me and my friends have been involved in any kind of transaction like that, it was absolutely to buy shoes, clothes. They can't pay their light bill. And now I've just started to come out of pocket, even though I had my income's not that great because I go to school full time. But I've come out of my pocket instead and given them cash instead of taking their food stamps. Yeah.
Representative Shoemaker, did you have a question?
Inquire.
Proceed.
I used to determine eligibility for food stamps. I worked for Division of Family Services for 20 years. And I remember, I don't know how it's changed, but it was this was back when they were actually receiving the actual food stamps, not an EBT card. But it was illegal to sell food stamps. I mean, that was patently illegal. But if one went to the store, bought food with the food stamps, and sold the food, I understand that that was not illegal. At the time, now, that could have changed since then, you know, but I understand that to be correct. Is that what you understand?
Yes, I mean, and that still happens. All these transitions that's made in the way of food stamps, like from paper to plastic, and then whatever the next transition will be, there's another transition with the actual people who decide to actually sell their food stamps. People used to go to the store with the person. They'd actually shop with them, pick out the items that they want. They'll both go to the register. The person with the card will pay for it. Now it's pretty much that person just gives them, especially if it's someone they know, just gives them the card, the PIN number. They use it that one time. They return the card. And like I said, if there was a way to reduce fraud is to actually put the number on there. And like I said, I've worked with thousands of felons. Some of them actually are receiving food stamps. And there's a lapse somewhere between the actual application and how they check to receive. And they may be overwhelmed by the amount of assistance. But a lot of guys do not know where pantries are, so they can't really go to the pantries. Pantries now are kind of being overrun because not only do convicted felons need food, now regular people who had jobs for the last 5-10, now they need some type of assistance. And a lot of guys who are out here trying to make it, and I say this as men, and this may be some kind of pride thing, don't even want to go to the pantry. And it's sad because I've seen people who have drug convictions. They're young. They're 23, 24 years old, eating out of trash cans. And they'll ask me where a soup kitchen is, and I'll try to tell them, and they'll stand in the line for like 2 hours, and then they'll leave because, you know, they just kind of give up. And just to deny someone food is, I don't know, it just doesn't seem.
I have one more question for you. If you received a pardon, wouldn't that make you eligible again?
Honestly, yeah. It took me a long. I did a lot of things in the community. Spoke with kids. It took me 13 years to get a pardon. I can go buy a firearm.
I would think now at this time you would actually be eligible. Would that?
You would think so. You would think a pardon actually did something.
You mean it did not?
No. It does. It really does.
Receiving a pardon didn't make you eligible again.
People still ask me, it's still difficult to get a job. It's still difficult to get housing. And it's still difficult to eat. Even with after 13 years, I'm good enough to speak to people's kids, guide people, help people. I know a lot of people from the state call me, people from the federal side call me. Yeah, I have a difficult
wipes out.
No, it does not.
Thank you. I think there's somebody that might address that better than me.
Representative Barnes.
Sorry, I was daydreaming for a second. We've got a little far afield. I want to go back to the very part of the bill that's really important. You got out of prison. You knew how to make money doing something illegal, right?
Yes.
Let's just put you in a you're a hypothetical person, okay?
Okay.
A hypothetical person that gets out of prison for a drug felony. You know how to make money.
Yes.
With drugs.
Yes.
You're hungry.
Yes.
You got no access to benefits.
Yes.
But you know how to make money.
Right.
What are you going to do? What are most people going to do?
Speaking hypothetically,
they're going to go right back to what they were doing, and then they're going to end right back up in prison, and we're going to pay $21,000 a year to put them in a prison for doing the same damn thing they went to prison before, because we're too cheap to give them food stamps for a little while when they get out of prison.
Well, I don't even have to answer the hypothetical question. So. Absolutely. When I first got out of prison, two things happened. It was so difficult that I ended up being paroled to my mom, and I got so frustrated, I said, either A, you're going to send me back to prison, like call my PO because I want to go back to prison, because things were a lot simpler, less complicated. I could 3 meals, I had a job, I got a paycheck, or I'm going to call my friend, I could buy an ounce of cocaine for $700, and I can make $3,000 in 18 hours. But I didn't. And there's a lot of reasons why I didn't, but I didn't. And it's a struggle because you're absolutely right. Most people, when they hit a point, and a lot of my friends have went down that road because they're like, you know, I can't make it like you can make it. And they go and they'll get a gun, they'll rob somebody. And you're just absolutely right.